Francisco!
Mind if I ask you a quick question? Quick question for you guys.
Excuse me, ma'am, I had a quick question for you. What's the difference between, like, knowledge and wisdom? Like, just knowledge and wisdom. Just a simple question.
I don't know.
Knowledge versus wisdom. You would say they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think wisdom is completely different than intelligence.
Knowledge is something that you learn, and wisdom is something that you have experienced, and then you have it.
Bark once if you think knowledge is better. Bark twice if you think that wisdom is better. Language barriers are tricky. It's a tricky thing.
You work at Google?
Yeah.
You guys do? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Wisdom is the use of knowledge.
Very good.
If you have a lot of information without the actual ability to use it,
someone who's wise has knowledge and they know how to apply that knowledge. Someone who is just knowledgeable doesn't mean you know how to apply it to everyday life or even to other people's lives. So.
Any chance you'd be able to take my hand as well, or like all three of us together hand in hand, or that's okay. Never mind, I'll just walk by myself. Thank you. How would you define wisdom?
When you realize you don't know everything.
How old are you?
14.
That's pretty good.
Wisdom is knowledge that you gain through experience.
I guess my personal definition would be moving intentionally and thoughtfully, you know, and being aware.
It's really about an awareness of yourself, of the people around you and what's going on, and look at the outcomes of possible situations. That's what a wise person would be.
You guys mind if I spend the rest of my day with you?
Oh, how many are thankful for Nick and San Francisco, right? Yeah. Oh, so we're so excited because if you're watching any of the campuses, watching online, thanks for joining us at River Valley this weekend. We have the opportunity to launch our new summer teaching series. It's entitled Before Google, and it's going to be a great and fun series. How many know it's okay to have a little fun in church, right? We can have a little fun, and it's so good, and really the heart of it is we're looking at godly wisdom, and we're going to look at kind of the big picture of godly wisdom and kind of the key ideas that God wants to get across in our lives through the book of Proverbs, and we'll take a big picture look, and then that'll especially be the first couple weekends, and then we're going to look at godly wisdom as it applies to some of the most important areas of our life. And so if you miss any of the summer series that's going to go on, I think it's a 7-week or 8-week series that you don't want to miss any part. Go online and watch one of them so you catch up, because I believe every week is going to be really, really special. So it's going to be a great series, Before Google. And one of the things I was just thinking about this week, getting ready to launch the series, I don't want to assume that everybody at River Valley is Google savvy, all right? I don't want to assume that, because like my mom, who I was with today, she is 79 years old, and I asked her, and she said she has no idea what Google is. She's never on a computer. She's never, and her idea of the computer is she'll say, Darren, will you go on your internet thing? That's what she calls it. And she thinks it can just do magic, that internet thing that I have, and it's something that's in my little phone. And it's so, but you know what? It's one of those things. I don't want to assume everybody is Google savvy, because some of you might be just a little bit like my mom. So I'm going to state the obvious just so we're really clear. Google's a search engine to get directions to answers that you're looking for. That's what it is. It's a search engine to get directions to answers that you're looking for. So it kind of puts you in contact with the right answers that you're looking for at any given moment. So that's really what it is. And it outpaces every other search engine, a minimum of 3-1, most of them 4-1 across the world. So I want to share with you, these are some fun, before Google, some fun Google stats here. There's 1.17 billion people that use Google. Can you imagine that? 1.17 billion Google users. There's 40,000 Google searches every second. 40,000 Google searches every second. There's 3.5 billion searches every day. Some of you need to stop it. I mean, it's just happening way too much. There's approximately 1.3 trillion every year. And I was like, how do you see that? I was trying to get your mind around those numbers. And I found this live Google clock. I want to show it to you to show you how fast this is happening. Is that amazing? That is a live snapshot of this Google search statistics and how fast it's going up. I mean, it's incredible. This is the trillion number, in case you're not sure what that is. But then it just, look how fast it's going up. And here's what I did. I looked all over online, and I was trying to find a chart or a graph or a clock or a meter that went up as fast as this one. I was only able to find one in the entire world that goes up as fast as the Google one. Let me show you that one. The national debt of the United States. Now, yeah, isn't that good news, everybody? So you look at that, and you're like, it's not going up really fast. That's because it's jumping at about $20,000 a second. So every second's a Toyota Camry. It's just bam, bam, bam. I mean, it's just going. It's just amazing. Some of you are like, well, what was the world like? What did we do before Google? And so I just want to show you what we did before Google. It's this. If you're under 30, okay, this is Yellow Pages. Could you imagine going back to this and having the pain of looking through it and Siri's not there and all that kind of stuff? It's just incredible. Proverbs chapter 1, this is going to be a fun series, and it's really an incredible chapter. The book of Proverbs will be highlighted throughout the summer, and it's going to be exciting. But let's jump in. These are the Proverbs, and I want you to notice this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined lives and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. And just getting ready to launch this series this weekend at all of our campuses, I was just thinking, what are some of the challenges we face in acquiring godly wisdom? And I would summarize it, because I think these two are really significant. And these will be up on the screen. You may want to jot a few things down throughout this message. But I really think we face two really big challenges today. I really do. I think you face them. I think I face them. I don't think they're hard to understand, but they're very, very real. Here's the first one I would share with you. Information and knowledge today is so available. It's so available. But godly wisdom needs to be pursued. Did you know that? That's the difference. Information and knowledge is so available, right? You can pull your phone out, your iPad out. There's so many different avenues where we can become knowledgeable or get information. But here's what we're learning, and we're going to learn throughout this series, is that godly wisdom, it has to be pursued. So we're going to find out, some people think that wisdom is knowledge, wisdom is information, but it's not. It's just part of it. The second thing I would say is just this: application is so important. It is so important. And I know we all know this at River Valley, this application thought, but how many of you know we don't always do it, do we? Yeah. I know we know it. I know we know application's important, but I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I think throughout the series we'll have a lot of different definitions and ideas about wisdom, and I wrote one down. I think wisdom is knowledge with timely application. I think wisdom is knowledge combined with timely application. I think it's not only application, I think it's timely application. I think it's the right time. I think you seize the moment. When God opens the door, you step through it. And wisdom is one of those things that I just think we all know is so valuable. So Proverbs chapter 1 is kind of what we're looking at this weekend. And it's going to be foundational for the entire series. And if you like series that are full of incredible scriptures, you're going to love this. You're going to love this Before Google series. But it's so foundational. It speaks to our lives. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. All campuses, every service this weekend at River Valley. This week, I'm going to ask you to read Proverbs chapter 1 5 times. I'm going to ask you to do it. It won't take you a lot of time. Each time will take you 5 or 6 minutes. And you're going to say, what about soap? Do soap as well. But I'm going to ask you, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, you're up to about 15 minutes. There you go. But you can do it. And I really mean it. I felt just led by God to say this weekend. Five times, read Proverbs chapter 1 and see the foundation that God begins to lay in your life. And I think some incredible things can come from that. I've probably read Proverbs chapter 1 20 or 25 times, just getting ready for this weekend, and God continues to show me new things. So it's foundational. And what I want to share with you, because this is a big picture kind of launch weekend, is I want to share with you three reminders that Solomon, that's the author of this, Solomon shares with us in Proverbs chapter 1. And these three reminders are not going to be really deep, but I just want you to track with me and kind of let them into your heart and your mind, because I believe they're going to speak to each and every one of us. So three reminders I think he's given to us. The first one is this, and it's really simple. Everyone needs godly wisdom. And everybody said amen. Amen? Everybody needs godly wisdom. It's no doubt. No matter what season of life you find yourself, everybody needs godly wisdom. So I'll jump quick to an action step right here in this first. I don't normally do it this fast, but let me ask you this important question. In this season of life, where do I most need to hear God's wisdom and apply God's wisdom? In this season of my life, where do I most need to hear God's wisdom and apply God's wisdom? And this is about me. It's about you. It's not about somebody else, right? This is not one of those series like, oh, I hope my teenager can hear this. Well, I hope they do too. But how many know we need it, right? So in my life, it's a prayer we can pray. God, where do I right now in this season of my life, because it's unlike any other, where do I most need to hear your wisdom and to apply your wisdom? So the first reminder, we could read the scriptures. It would tell us everyone needs godly wisdom. The second one, you're going to say, Pastor Darren, you're repeating yourself, but I'm really not. Everyone needs more godly wisdom. Everyone needs more godly wisdom. And I would ask you to grab these next two reminders if you don't grab anything else this weekend. I was reading through it and never jumped out at me like this. And it just grabbed a hold of my heart and my mind. Everyone needs more godly wisdom. Those verses we read said this. Watch this, church. It said, those of you that are wise, study these proverbs and become even wiser. Those of you that have understanding right now, study these proverbs and gain more understanding. So there's this challenge in Proverbs chapter 1, and I think we all need it, especially in our world today, in our culture today, where we may have some wisdom. I hope we do. We have some understanding. Things are going really well in our lives, and the challenge is from Solomon in the book of Proverbs is go get more. Go get more in your life. There's a movie that was, it's probably 15 years old now, called The Family Man. And there's a scene in this movie where the lead character is a guy by the name of Jack, and he's a Wall Street executive, wealthy, successful, lives in a nice condo in downtown Manhattan. He's in his late 30s. He works late into the night. He's walking home. Jack is the lead character in this movie, Family Man, and he walks into this convenience store, and he's shopping to pick something up. It's probably 11:30 at night, and a young man comes in and pulls a gun on the guy behind the counter and wants to get the money and all that kind of stuff. And Jack, this hero, this successful guy, walks up to him and says, hey, he wants to keep everybody's cool. And Jack says to the guy that's holding the gun, hey, just calm down. He says this, hey, what? Maybe I can help you. What do you need? What do you need? And the guy holding the gun turns to Jack and says, hey, Jack, what do you need? And Jack's answer was this. It just jumped out at me this week. Jack said, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And can I tell you that when you live a really blessed life, one of the things you got to guard against is pride. It's pride. It's like, wow, and across the metro, most of our campuses, we're doing really, really well in so many different areas. And we sometimes think we don't need more of anything. And Proverbs, Solomon says, not only if you have wisdom, if you have understanding, if you got good things happening in your life, you know what? You still need to pursue more godly wisdom. Don't ever get to that place where we think, I don't need anything. I'm just here to help other people, right? No, let's help other people, but let's get more godly wisdom in our lives. It's super, super important. So Proverbs chapter 11, 2, look at this scripture. It says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Not a good verse. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So the first reminder is everyone needs godly wisdom. The second one we just talked about, everyone needs more godly wisdom. And the third reminder, I think, that Solomon's sharing with us in Proverbs chapter 1 is this. And again, this just grabbed my heart this week. God has an expectation. God has an expectation for the wisdom he provides us. Did we know that? God has an expectation for the wisdom he provides us. So we're going to read a few more verses, and it's towards the end of Proverbs chapter 1. And how many can handle River Valley challenging verses? Can you handle that? Come on, somebody. Can you handle it? All right, so because we're going to go into some things here that are pretty challenging that Solomon talks to us. And again, it's this idea. It doesn't get preached a lot in our churches around the country, but it's one of those things where God has an expectation when he gives his wisdom to us. So let's look at this, challenging scriptures. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice, and you rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Proverbs 1. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. Wow. Right? I warned you, didn't I? I mean, it's serious. Like, wow, where's that in the New Testament? Galatians 6, 7, and 8 tells us that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And there's this part of God and searching as we begin the series before Google, and as we ask for more godly wisdom, we have to understand God has an expectation on us when he gives us his wisdom. So I would phrase it this way. God is saying to each and every one of us, and when I look at this, he's saying this. Hey, church, hey, Christian, I lovingly, freely offer you great, amazing wisdom. Use it or else. That's what he's saying. Use it. I'm going to give it to you free. I'm going to offer it to you. But there is an expectation that I want you to use it. I wrote this down. God's love is limitless, but he gives his wisdom with expectations. So don't confuse the two. God's love is limitless. But when he's giving us his wisdom, which is so precious, it's so valuable, it's so vital, he's given it with expectations. I was thinking about this again the last few weeks, and Jane and I have three amazing daughters, and two of them have gone through college. The other one is a 17 and will be going to college soon. We've had a plan of the financial investment that we want to make in our daughter's college tuition and their future and stuff like that. So this plan, and it's a very generous plan to support them and help them out. But the plan to support our daughters in college comes with expectations. How many know that? It's not a blank check. How many of you know if we handed them $15,000 cash each, not wisdom, right? No, it comes with expectations. My belief is this, most great things we receive come with expectations. And if we will steward them better, we will receive more of them. Did you say that? Did you hear that? If we steward them better, we will receive more of them in our lives. Right. And so as we walk this out and see this, that God is just saying, this is so, so significant. So I'm going to transition here in the message and talk about a key decision that Solomon made in his life as he was the author of Proverbs and kind of the focus of this series before Google. But before I do that, because I'm going to talk about a key decision, let me ask you this. How many have made this weekend, you just admit this, you've made at least a few really bad decisions? Could you just raise your hand? Some of you should have both hands up right now, right? I mean, all of us have done this, and this has been running through my mind, and the good news is I don't have the time to tell you all the bad decisions I've made. But I was reflecting back to when I was 15 years old, and I used to ride motorcycles. So that was what I did. I lived out in the country in Prior Lake, and I rode motorcycles. I remember I didn't have much money, and my brakes went out on my motorcycle, so I thought I would ride my motorcycle for the next month without brakes. And that's what I did. I would use my feet and downshift to slow it down. How many of you know I ran into a few things in those 30 days, right? It's just, and I don't know too many 15-year-olds that have a lot of wisdom, but that was just, I mean, all of us have walked through these moments, these seasons. And we're going to look at, I wish we had more time, but we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to look at one of the most amazing and wisest decisions ever recorded in Scripture. In week one of this series, we get to look at this. So again, it's Solomon doing this. 1 Kings chapter 3 in verse number 5 is where we'll jump in. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." How many think that's a pretty sweet request right there? Solomon replied, look at his reply here. "You showed great faithful love to your servant, my father, David. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around." Look at his humility. "And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted." So he says this. He says, "If I can ask you for one thing, here's my one thing. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right," wow, "and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and you have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart." Look at this. "Such as no one else has ever had or ever will have." Pretty amazing, right? And then he says this, "And," I circled it in my Bible, "and I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life." Wow. I just look at that and I say, wow, look at the favor that God gave him. That word in there, it says, "I am going to give you what you asked for, wisdom." And then he says this, "And on top of that, here's how else I'm going to bless you." There's something about aligning our desires with God's desires, going after what he wants us to go after. And you want to talk about before Google and seeking godly wisdom. That's the wise thing to do. I don't think Solomon did this to try to trick God. I think he honestly said, "Hey, if I can have one thing, I'm in over my head here as leader of this nation. My dad did a pretty good job. He was a faithful servant. Now I'm like a young guy, and now I'm the king, and I just know it's a huge role, huge responsibility. So I'm not going to ask you for money. I'm not going to ask you for life eternal. I'm not going to ask you for death of my enemies." He says, "Would you just give me wisdom to be the leader, God, you want me to be?" And God, for some reason, he was so affectionate towards that answer, and he was so blessed. And it was so, so incredible. So here's what I want to share with you. It's the challenge for week one of our summer series. And it's simply this. Let's go after more godly wisdom. Church, let's go after more godly wisdom. Amen? Let's go after it. Let's do it. Let's not let anything hold us back. Let's look at what Solomon charges us to do. And let's go after more godly wisdom. And can I say all of us? Right? I need it. You need it. We all need it. I'm asking you every day, 5 days this week, 5 times, read Proverbs chapter 1. Let's pursue it. Let's go after it as we launch into this series and say, God, the next few weeks, and I hope I'm here for a lot of them. If I miss a few, I'll watch them online, because you're going to do something in our lives. And I want that kind of foundation where Solomon says, I want that same kind of thing happening in my life. And not only do I want godly wisdom, I want more godly wisdom in my life. And then I want to have the wisdom to know that he gives it to me with expectations. And God, help me. So I look at this and say, again, let's, River Valley Church, let's go after more godly wisdom. All of us, every single one of us. James chapter 1 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our, what kind of God? Everybody say generous. Our generous God. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Isn't that good? He will not rebuke you for asking. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand at this moment, but how many of us know we might lack a little bit of wisdom? One of the smartest things we can do is what we just talked about. Ask God. ask God. Other weeks in this series, we'll talk about mentors. We'll talk about great things to read. We'll talk about other information, all good things. But this weekend, I'm going to challenge us. Let's just go to God. Say, God, I'm lacking. I don't have everything. I don't have my act together 100% of the time. I know some great things. You've blessed me in many ways, but I'm not done learning. So God, I need more of your wisdom in my life. I love that scripture. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. One more scripture, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus was there amongst the crowds and this is what he said. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? All week long, getting ready for this series, I felt like God just laid this on my heart as part of week one of Before Google. And I just want to ask you this question. How's your relationship with God today? How's your relationship with Christ today? Is it close? Is it active? Is it life-giving? Is it distant? Is it real? Is it personal? How's your relationship with God today? I wrote this down. The wisest decision we can make is to keep our relationship with God healthy. It's the wisest decision we can make. So how's your relationship with Christ today? I have the opportunity to mentor and get to meet with a lot of young pastors and young leaders. And in about 6 months, I'll turn 50 years old. I know it's hard to believe looking at me, but it's true. And sometimes, it's probably been asked to me 10 or 15 different times, hey, Pastor Darren, what's the wisest decision you ever made? What's the wisest decision you ever made? And I'm pretty quick to answer. I say, that's easy. It's two things, Jesus and Jane. So Jesus first and my wife Jane, in that order. Sorry, honey, but that's the way it is. But it's the wisest decision, Jesus first. Yep. How's your relationship with Christ? And when that foundation is right, then throughout this summer series, we can build on that foundation and get godly wisdom, and our lives can get on track. And if they're on track, we can get more wisdom. We can get more understanding. We can have God's best operating in our lives, and we will be blessed. Why? Because he loves us. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Here and at all of our campuses, in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to commit your heart to Christ, or if you've fallen away from God, to come back to God. But let's take just a moment and pray together. Lord, thank you for being a God who says you're generous and you love us and you offer wisdom to us and you're amazing. You're a God that shows up and says to Solomon, hey, ask me anything you want. You're a God that says in James chapter 1, if you're lacking anything, come and ask me because I'm generous and I love you. So Lord, we understand how special you are. And thank you. Thank you for being such an amazing God who cares for us and desires a close personal relationship. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.